Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast.
Rachel Pierce is a workforce development business partner at the Dudley Group. She collaborates with Dudley Council on I Can Dudley, a pioneering project breaking down employment barriers and promoting inclusion. The initiative has already won 2 awards this year, and Rachel continues to drive its impact forward, championing accessibility and opportunity for the local community.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Right Chamber podcast. I am Victor, and with me is
Jaspreet.
And we've got a lovely guest for you today, and we have a special discussion to have. I will let her introduce herself. So please tell us your name.
So I'm Rachel Pierce, and I'm the Workforce Development Business Partner here at the Dudley Group.
Brilliant. Lovely to meet you, Rachel. And Business Development Lead. Oh, tell us a little bit about that. What does that involve?
So it's quite a multifaceted role. It's quite a new role. So the role only came in December 2023. So my background is in traditional HR employee relations. This role sits within the workforce function, but is more outwardly focused. It's more got more of an external focus. And broadly speaking, it is all about developing talent pipelines, getting people into work in the NHS, working with schools and colleges to really get the word out really about the range of NHS careers, to inspire people to join us and to make it more accessible, and then to develop people once they're in. So the workforce development goes, you know, into workforce planning. So I've developed and deliver workforce planning training as well to managers in the organisation.
Okay. So you work with the closely to the recruitment team.
Yep. Okay. We're part of the same team now. So that's quite unusual in that recruitment usually sits within HR operations, and it used to as well until this role came in. And I think it was an opportunity to make recruitment move from being seen as a transactional service and an administrative service to be more transformational. And that is why it now sits within the organisational development function and sits under me, under workforce development. So we've seen quite a lot of changes. So we've aligned the more traditional careers focused roles like apprenticeships lead, work experience lead, and pre-employment programs all sit with recruitment under me now. And we're a new Careers at Dudley service.
So what would your day-to-day look like? Like, if you come in, have your coffee, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah, I have my coffee. Yeah, first thing I do is have my coffee. No 2 days are the same, really, because a lot of my role is project-based. I have a really fantastic recruitment manager, so I don't have to get involved with any of the day-to-day operational elements of recruitment really very often. So the role is more built around some of our projects. So the I Can Dudley is the main one, and that's probably been my main focus. Probably 60% of my time at least has been spent working on ICANN initiative since I've been in post, and the other part is really trying to build our apprenticeship programs, our work experience programs, and we've seen a lot of changes and growth there as well, looking after our careers ambassadors, and you know, there's it's all interrelated because it's all serves the same goal of building careers in the Dudley Group.
That's awesome. So it's really getting younger people involved who are looking to entering a career possibly in the future in the NHS, as well as reaching out into just the community as well, surrounding some exciting projects. So you mentioned ICANN. For our listeners who have no idea what that is, could you break it down a little bit for us?
So ICANN Dudley is not so much a brand really as a concept. So we're not the first ICANN. It was a concept that was delivered by Birmingham and Solihull ICB a few years ago. They developed ICANN to meet a need in their community. So they had a very high number of entry-level vacancies, particularly within a particular hospital in Birmingham. They had something like 300 vacancies across, you know, estates and facilities and entry-level care roles. So they had a real need there. They were struggling to fill those vacancies and also had high rates of unemployment in the community. So they did this project to try and match those unemployed people to these jobs and had great success with it. So that was kind of the inspiration of ICANN Dudley. So ICANN Dudley was born as a concept in, I think, May 2023, when Dudley Council had an opportunity to bid for some funding. So the Commonwealth Games happened, and quite bizarrely, I think there was an underspend from the Commonwealth Games. So there was some funding left over, and it was decided that that should be reinvested into the community. So Dudley Council put in a bid for some of that money to go towards employability and skills in Dudley. And workforce leaders from both the council and the NHS got together to just brainstorm, like, what could we do with this funding? And I think it was Rachel Andrew, who's our lead for OD here, said, well, you know, there's this great scheme in Birmingham. They've done this ICANN scheme. So they started to talk about what that would look like in Dudley. And although we kind of borrowed the concept, if you like, and the branding for ICANN, the scheme is quite different. There's significant differences with Dudley. So we didn't have the volume of jobs. A lot of the jobs in Birmingham were estates and facilities, and that is outsourced here in Dudley. So that's a key difference. We also knew that, you know, this was time limited funding. So we had, I mean, at this point we had, you know, ideally 2 years worth of funding, but it wasn't operational until the December. So we had about 15 months to spend the money, if you like. So it was an opportunity to be experimental. It was seen as a pilot. It was seen as, let's develop and test some concepts and see what works, with a view to maybe obviously hopefully having some successes, but then getting some future funding. And the other key difference to Birmingham is that we were doing it in partnership with the council. So ICANN Dudley is really unique in the employability space because it is a true partnership between Dudley Council and Dudley NHS as the two biggest employers in Dudley, and the two major anchor institutions in Dudley working together on a common goal. But with the backdrop of not having the volume of vacancies. In fact, Dudley Council were going through a recruitment freeze at the time. So they were in a real state of, and still are in a state of, change and transformation. And at the time, we had more jobs than we do now, but certainly not the scale of what they had at Birmingham. So quite a different programme for us. And it was really a concept that was born in May and became operational once they brought people on board. So they developed the role that I'm now in, the Workforce Development Business Partner at Dudley Group, and they developed a similar role over at the council and recruited administrative support. So really quite a small team. And we have a pre-employment coordinator here who's part-time as well, who'd be involved. So a really, really small team of people to get it operational, but we knew that we'd have the support of other teams within the council. You know, there are employability teams in the council, adult community learning do and have done a lot of work in that space already. So we knew that we'd be able to link in with them.
So it's quite integrated into Dudley Council as well as the hospital working in partnership and really marrying those gaps of unemployment with people looking for roles to fill up.
Yeah.
I guess on a practical level then, what does it then look like to that person who is looking for employment? How does this all play out the...
So how did it work in practice? So there was a few different work streams that became operational during that 15 months. So one was a program called Into Employment, which, and it's still going, it's a four-week employability course that is, you know, it's unpaid, it's voluntary. So people would get referred by their job coaches in the job centre.
Mm.
Traditionally, we did go out and source some of our own people as well. We did a bit of our own sort of marketing, if you like. But most people came via referral from DWP. And these were people that were interested in working in health and social care. So that was the only requirement. They were unemployed and wanted a job in health and social care. They came on a four-week program. So this program was a collaborative effort, if you like. So we've had people from the trust go out and deliver parts of that program. We've had managers and different departments from the council go out and deliver on that program. And the other parts of the program delivered by the community learning team are around, you know, how job searching, you know, digital skills, confidence building, all of the things which help support somebody in their job search and in their interview skills and things like that. Because, you know, job seekers tell us all the time that there are barriers around their education and perhaps lack of work experience, but a big thing is just the fear and, you know, going into these processes can be really daunting, intimidating, especially if you don't have a lot of work experience to draw on.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is around building people's aspirations and confidence to go for jobs as well as the skills to actually to perform in an interview environment.
I suppose someone really could just think, why should I even bother applying to a job in this hospital? I've never set foot in hospital apart from maybe when I came to visit someone before. And, you know, you think of the NHS, you think of, oh, they must all have had this extensive...
It's a feeling of being underqualified.
You know, yeah. Massively. So, that is a huge barrier. And I think our processes don't really help because, you know, we put jobs out on NHS jobs, for example. You need to be looking for an NHS job to even come across those roles. Mm. And so that's a barrier in the first instance, is that, you know, you're not necessarily going to get that share of the market, if you like. You then have our application forms, which are really big, quite intimidating in their own right, I think, because they're very structured. You can't just fire off a CV to apply for a job in the NHS. So even if somebody's gone to the extent of creating a CV and a covering letter, that's no good for the NHS or the council. We've got our own application forms. So that's a potential barrier for people. And I do think that people see the NHS as, you know, and it is, you know, multi-professional. You've got all of these qualified clinicians and people like, I don't know if there's a role for me there. I don't think people realise the breadth of opportunity within the NHS. We've got 350 careers in the NHS. Most people are shocked when they find that out. They're like,
there's literally something for everyone.
For everybody. I think that, you know, it's only about 40% of our roles are doctors and nurses. But that's what most people think of when you say, who works in the NHS? Yep. Doctors, nurses.
Yep.
You know, 60% of the workforce are doing other things.
Yeah,
we have a huge support workforce which are absolutely critical to the running of our wards, and we couldn't survive without them. They're really, really highly valuable roles.
Yeah.
And these are entry-level roles that perhaps people don't think that they're qualified for.
Yeah.
So I think a big piece of the work that we've been doing is actually opening people's eyes to the opportunity that's there. And I think as well, as well as, you know, looking at raising aspirations in the community, it's also about testing out some of our own assumptions about what the requirements are for these roles. So for care support workers, we've always had a level 2 qualification as a minimum entry requirement. And we've sort of challenged that from our ICANN perspective of, is that really required? Like, how much maths do you do in the job? Not a lot. So is that really a genuine requirement, or is that just another barrier that we're putting in that doesn't need to be there? So something that we did through ICANN is reduce the entry requirement for that entry-level care role to a level 1. And that has opened up the playing field, if you like, to so many people. And as an offshoot of Into Employment, we developed a novice program for trainee care support workers, because a lot of people went through Into Employment. Part of Into Employment is that you get a guaranteed interview at the end of it. So even people who then applied for care jobs weren't necessarily getting them. And the barrier was they didn't have the care certificate, or they didn't have a level 2. So that is why we developed a 12-week program, and that was paid. People had to attend an interview to get onto that, but it was more values-based. The interview was more about, does this person have a genuine desire to care for people? Yeah. Because that is what we really need, isn't it?
Desire, interpersonal skills, so many things that, you know, would act, you know,
on paper, like, see if they're actually capable of caring for people.
So many roles are more than how well you can crunch numbers or...
And also, the crunching of numbers, you can learn that as you go along on at a job.
Yeah. A lot of the skills can pick up along the way. But it's like, are you genuinely, you know, someone who is kind-hearted, who shares the values of, for instance, the DGFT? Do you share the values of respect? And are you willing to work? If you have someone who's desperate and willing to work, and you have an open position on the other side waiting to be filled, then why put unnecessary barriers in there? So I think it's really great that you're really spotting all the areas and then addressing them. And
well, we're trying.
Imagine getting out of our high school for personal reasons, for family reasons, and then having this fear that you cannot get a job. Mm. This is a good opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it will boost someone's confidence so much as well.
And boost employment as well.
There's no reason why you can't come in at an entry level, you know, Bantu support worker role, and through a series of apprenticeships, go all the way to chief exec.
Yeah.
Like, you really can.
Yeah.
And that is not an exaggeration.
Like the American dream, but the NHS dream.
It's the NHS dream. And we should be accessible to everybody. I think that we have, you know, such an important role to play in our community. And I think that is something that it's all part of our anchor institution ambitions. It's a major part of our trust strategy is, you know, we are a part of Dudley Place. You know, we are an anchor institution. We have a vested interest in Dudley. We have a really significant role to play in Dudley community. And I think the ICANN is a vehicle for us to realise some of those ambitions. And I think Dudley is a really interesting place. I'm biased because I live here. I haven't always lived here, though. You know, I've travelled the world and I came back to Dudley for a good reason. It's a really fantastic place. And I think... you know, Dudley is really, really unique. I think there is a lot of need out there. And I think the NHS is really well placed to meet some of that as far as employability goes. And there is a real link between being employed and being healthy. You know, that has been demonstrated through research and, you know, part of the national health policy, if you've heard of Core 20+5, it is about targeting health promotion and interventions in the 20% most deprived areas. And in Dudley, 28% of our population live in the 20% most deprived. So, you know, there is quite a large proportion of our population that need that support. And it is not... a coincidence that it's the same 20%, where you have these really major health inequalities is also where you have poorer housing, you have higher unemployment, you know, you have poorer educational outcomes. It's all connected, isn't it? So I think, you know, the work we're doing with ICANN is really, really important because it's investing in our local economy, is going to hopefully drive employment in the areas where it is most needed, and in doing so is going to drive better health outcomes in those areas, which is going to help in terms of our long term, in terms of our capacity as a hospital. So it's all really interconnected, and that is why it's such an important part of our trust strategy. And that's why we think it's really important to work with the local council, because they have public health. You know, they look after a lot of the social housing, not all of it, but a big part of the social housing. So, you know, between us, there is a huge amount that we can do together. And I think that it's, you know, just a taste of things to come, really. I think the sky's the limit in terms of what we can achieve when we work in partnerships. And I think the thing that's unique about ICANN Dudley is that it is about that partnership. You know, we've developed partnership principles that we adhere to. They've emerged really through the work. And it's something that when we go out and talk to other organisations now that we want to partner with, because, you know, the future for ICANN is looking beyond our organisational boundaries of the council and the NHS and looking at where else is there opportunity?
Wider opportunities.
Where else are there jobs? And also where do the community want to work? Not everybody wants to work in health and social care. It's meeting people where they're at and helping them reach their what their own personal aspirations are. And I think that is the kind of change over the next year that ICANN's going to see, is that we're going to be working with more different other employers, other organisations, other anchor institutions, but, you know, other employers in Dudley to meet that need.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I find the point on the impact of ICANN on health and wellbeing so interesting. So as well as encouraging recruitment, getting people in to improve health and wellbeing of patients, ICANN in itself is improving health and wellbeing of the community. It's addressing socioeconomic disparities, which in turn affects housing and health and access to healthcare and ability to pay bills. Mental health will probably improve. So it's all an interconnected cycle, and it's all benefits built on each other. That's amazing.
I think the main thing is, like, mental health will improve so much when, like, people are able to do things.
Yeah.
Is ICANN like abbreviation of something, or is it just ICANN?
ICANN, like I can work, you know, I can learn. And, you know, something that was really unique, I suppose, to the last year is that that anybody who was unemployed could access the program. So we did do a lot of work to try and target people with the greatest barriers. So one of our work streams was paid work experience. And that was open to anybody who was unemployed could apply, but we did some very targeted engagement with people with disabilities and special educational needs, because that is, you know, a really recognised barrier into work. And we also did some targeted engagement with people leaving the care system. So, I mean, that's a really interesting case in point, because in Dudley, we've got higher than average number of young people that are in care. And statistically, your life chances are pretty stark. If you have grown up in the care system, you are far less likely to enter further education. You're far more likely to leave school and go straight onto benefits and potentially stay there. And for some people, that is the best case scenario. There's a very high proportion of care leavers that end up in the prison population. Something like 25% of the homeless population are care leavers as well. So I think, you know, we have a real social responsibility to these young people to try and book that trend. So that is why they're a target group for ICANN, and they will continue to be over the next year. Something that's changing this year is that more of our focus is on young people. So we had, you know, all ages were represented in ICANN. I think our oldest ICANN was 60. So the difference this year is, as I said, we were funded by the Commonwealth Games Legacy Fund. But that was time limited. So that funding ended in March this year. We were really fortunate to be able to access some different funding streams for this year to continue the work that we're doing. But those funding streams are specifically to people. One funding stream is for 18 to 21 year old NEETs. NEET stands for Not in Employment, Education and Training. So we've got 9% of the Dudley population of 16 to 18 year olds on NEET. So leaving school and becoming economically inactive. And you've got a really small window of time to try and turn that around before somebody loses all confidence to even try and get into work or to try and get into education. And so that is why they are a target group for us, because it's higher than the national average for NEETs nationally, and it's higher than the Black Country average as well. So we've got more in Dudley than in other parts of the Black Country. The other bit of funding we've got is for 18 to 29 year olds, and that is targeted towards people with more significant barriers. So we're going to continue to target people with disabilities. So last year, I think on our paid work placement programs, just over 40% declared a disability or long-term health condition. So I think it's about 19% of the Dudley community declare a health condition, and a very high proportion of those claiming benefits do declare a health condition. So it is a real recognised barrier for people getting into work. There's been some research done by the Department for Work and Pensions within our some of our most deprived wards in Dudley about what are your barriers into work. And by far the highest reported barrier of these people was mental health. Mental health. So you were absolutely right when you said that. Like, it's a barrier for people getting into work, but it's also a major benefit for people once they're in work. And, you know, for anyone familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you have to get your basic needs met before you even can start to look at like emotional health and mental health. But it's one of the huge gains that we've seen for people who've come through the program last year. We did a massive piece of evaluation where we had loads of statistics, because part of us being able to get the funding for Commonwealth Games was these KPIs that we had to perform against. And a lot of that was, you know, quantitative, who our people were and where they came from. And so we've got loads of statistics about our impact, you know.
So you can actually see
we've got loads of statistics in terms of our impact. But what that didn't give us was that qualitative data. So we went out to get that ourselves. So we interviewed our participants. We interviewed line managers that had supported them, both the council and the NHS, and ourselves as well. We had a focus group that was done on ICANN partners.
And that will even help with like improvement and growth as well. Learn, you know, how you're doing, what's working, what's not working.
That was kind of the core questions that we were looking to answer from the research, was what have we done well? What do we need to do better? And what are the impacts that go beyond the numbers?
Yeah.
The numbers tell a really fantastic story in their own right, but to hear directly from the participants in terms of the impact it's had on them is really heartening, you know, and it's really motivating, and it's given us some fantastic case studies to go back out to market and say, look at the difference that it's making for people. They were talking about some of the stuff is obvious, like the development of the skills that they've got in their placements, the money is a big factor. Being able to go on holiday for the first time, being able to take their children on holiday for the first time were some of the things we heard. But actually, something which came across was the sense of belonging they got coming into work, being part of the family.
Part of a team.
The family of the NHS.
Coming into work, some people don't even have anyone to talk to at home. Just coming to work, having someone to talk to.
Feeling like you belong somewhere, it can have such a huge impact.
That you're important.
And giving something back.
Yes.
So we've had, you know, 24 people have come through as care support worker novices, and, you know, they've made such an impact in their areas as well. So like the line managers have said, you know, they bring a real diversity of thought. You know, that increasing the diversity within their teams by bringing on these people has actually really added something to the experience for their patients, because they can connect with patients in a different way. They have a lot in common with some of their patients which are coming through. And, you know, that wasn't something that we planned for, you know. And seeing the impact that they can have on their patients and being able to relate to their patients is amazing.
Must be so rewarding, just, you know, seeing that impact in person and seeing it, you know, on paper, people giving their personal experiences and the massive changes that, I mean, you know, it can be so rewarding that you've contributed to someone actually being able to, you know, take their kids on holiday for the first time in a while and improving their mental health at the same time in doing so. If there's someone now wanting to engage with ICANN, how can they do this?
So they can get in touch directly with myself or any of the ICANN team. So as I said, we work across both the council and the NHS. Something we're going to be doing actually this year that is different to last year is that we've got some community voluntary organisations that we're going to be working with at sort of grassroots level to get into these harder to reach communities to work with some of our local residents. And they're going to be doing some referrals to us for people that are ready to engage with work and want to work. So, you know, they might be connected, even if they don't hear the podcast, which is great. We're going to be doing some engagement through the job centres. We did that last year. We went out to the job centres so we could go and talk to people in groups about the opportunities that we've got and about how we can work with them. So we're going to be doing more of that, and we're going to be setting up some email inboxes so people can directly self-refer as well. So I will share that, so you can share that with the podcast as well, so that people know how they can self-refer. And we're willing to work with people that, so long as they meet the criteria. So for this year, most people are going to be between ages of 18 and 29 in terms of working with us directly with the ICANN team. But we also have adult community learning. They are still there. They're still doing the inter-employment program. That is for anybody who's unemployed to access. So they can look for adult community learning. There are loads of courses they do on digital skills, on, you know, somebody doesn't have the functional skills in English and maths. They can go and do that for free. Any adult in the Black Country can go and do that for free. And I urge people to go and do that if they haven't got that already, and to go and join an inter-employment course. If they speak to their job coach, if they speak to anybody at the job centre, they will know how to refer people into that. And we've got more courses starting in September. So it's a really great time to go and access that wealth of information. There's loads out there for people. And if somebody wants to learn and they're just not sure where to start, they just want to get that community to be connected to other people, they do courses in art and floristry and all sorts of things through ACL.
There is something literally for...
Yeah, there is loads out there for people if they just look. So I would say go and have a look on the Dudley Council web pages for in My Dudley to see, you know, what is available and to just start somewhere. And, you know, and if you meet our criteria, we'll probably come and find you.
Brilliant.
We'll put the link in our podcast.
I'm excited to see where this goes,
where this goes next. It's a brilliant program. I think it's going to help a lot, and it already is.
Yeah. And it's only going to get better from there. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really do hope people get to listen to this episode, especially those that will benefit from it. So if you know someone as you're listening to this episode, perhaps share it with someone who you think may benefit from this, and engage with us as well. The link will be provided, and comment if you have any thoughts as well. Share it with us, and we'll be able to link you even with the ICANN team as well, from information that we have. That comes to the end of the episode. Thank you for staying with us, and we'll see you on the next one.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.